My wife and I have been missionaries now for 47 years there in Brazil. And we asked you to get one of our prayer cards. And there, the Bill and Sharon Smith family going back to northern Brazil, Lord willing, just before a couple of days before Thanksgiving of this year. And on the back of our prayer card, it says these words, Bill and Sharon Smith, and it gives our address there in Brazil, and then it gives our email address. We had the prayer cards done, but one thing happened there in Brazil is that we needed a post office box. So at one time, we had post office box 463. Well, they did away with that number, so they gave us a new number, 563. So they did away with that number anyways. Now they gave post office box 2. And so anyway, whatever you put on their post office box anyways, it'll get to us because they know Bill and Sharon Smith there in northern Brazil, at least in Boa Vista, Roraima. And anyways, we asked you to get one of our prayer cards and pray for us as we go back to Brazil. We came back to home to do some doctor's work, some dentist work. And I told Doc, I said to our dentist, I said, Doc, I need my teeth. And I had some dentures made. And he said, Bill, it's going to be after you pull your teeth, it's going to be 4 weeks. Doc, I need them. And we're coming up here by way of Friday of last week. I need them before I leave anyways. And well, that'd be the first time I've ever preached without any dentures in the front anyways. But anyways, he called me then Wednesday night. He said, Bill, we've got your dentures. Can you come in tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock or 11:30? I'll be there at 8 o'clock. And I want to get my dentures anyways. And so can you imagine not even able to eat steak or anything for 4 weeks anyways? And so I've had jello, I've had pudding, I've had everything that you can think of. So one preacher told me this, Brother McFarland. He said this, well, no problem. We'll take you out for a steak dinner. Your wife and my wife, Sharon, I'll have my wife stand up anyways. And this year will mark 47 years of marriage as well. And appreciate that. And we'll give Sharon the steak, and we'll just put yours in a liquefier and in a blender anyways. You can have it that way. And I said, oh, me anyways. But anyways, we want to say thank you very much for the First Baptist Church here in Bryan, Ohio. And when you said something about the Vacation Bible School and the money you raised, years ago, you raised some money for us as well. And you'll see in the slides tonight anyways, the benches and also the bolts and the nuts that you, and also the legs that you helped buy for Vacation Bible School for years ago. And we want to say thank you very much for this church here. Some years ago, we went back to the field and Pastor McFarland wrote and said, if you need anything, let us know. Hey, well, back in those days, and anyways, when I went back to Brazil, I had a fungus on my nail, on two of them, my nails on my hands, and I got that medicine anyways, and I had some stuff on my face also, and then I had to have a tooth pulled as well. And I'm not getting into that, but anyways, you paid for that anyways for us there in Brazil. If you've never had a tooth pulled in a foreign country, try it sometime. Forty-six years ago is a whole lot different. I never will forget. I went to the first dentist anyways. I went with another missionary. And I looked at it. There's a hole in the wall. And a piece of plywood was nailed onto it. Well, that should have told me something anyways. Okay, there's not too many patients coming here anyways. And I'm looking for the water. You know, if you ever been to a dentist, he has a little water anyways. And you need to rinse your mouth out and put it in that little bowl there anyways. And so there was a bowl with no water in it. So I looked in it. Oh, there's that's where the teeth are anyway. So I said, oh, now you won't want to go to another country to have your teeth pulled. And then we want to say thank you very much also for the special offerings that you set for my wife during her medical treatment in 2014 anyways. And we thank you very much for that. And then the special Christmas offerings that you sent to us. And then the ladies group and the prayer group here also sent special offerings and cards to us as well. And we want to say thank you very much for all that you have done with us for all these many years. If you can have your Bibles, and if you can stand, if you can't stand, then I understand that. And open your Bibles to Acts chapter 13, and I want to read a few verses of Scripture this morning. Acts chapter 13, and verses number 47 to 49. Book of Acts, chapter 13, and verses number 47 on. It says these words. Acts 13, verse 47 to 52. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came into Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And verse number 1 of chapter 14. And it came to pass in Iconium that they were both together in the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day, the first day of the week, that we can come into your house to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We ask, dear Lord, that you might bless your word today. And our prayer is that you would have your will and way in each of our own hearts and lives, some to be saved, some to give their lives to thee, some to get right with thee as well. We ask, dear Lord, that you'll just go with us throughout this day and throughout this message this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you can be seated. Catch the vision. Years ago, I was saved at the age of 16 years of age here in the state of Ohio, Mansfield, Ohio. Little would I know that after I was saved at 16, and then next few weeks that I would be baptized into that Baptist church there in Mansfield, Ohio. And then later in life that I would graduate from high school. But as I graduated from high school, I knew and the Lord had pressed upon my heart, I want you to give your life to thee. Okay, that to the Lord Jesus Christ. But little did I know that with my wife and I would marry my wife and we would end up in Brazil. And someone said this, well, how are you doing in Brazil? Well, at 68 years of age, we just, you might say, changed gears a little bit. I can't go up the ladder as fast as I can, or I could anyways. I can't run as fast as I could back in those days. And so we just switched gears and let the younger generation do it anyways. And so, but you know one thing about it? They still look to us for the wisdom and the knowledge, and also, how can we do it? I'll say this years ago of what happened to my wife and I. As I graduated from Bible college there in Texas years ago, at the last 6 weeks of our Bible college that I would graduate from there, I asked our pastor back in those days, well, Pastor, we said all this, we learned all about Bible college and what to do and what not to do anyways. How do you start a church? And I wasn't married at that time, and I was getting to graduate from Bible college. And Pastor, can you help us out? I can help you out. My wife and I can help you out on a Saturday morning before visitation. That would be from 9 to 10:30 back in those days. And I said, could you teach us? And it would be not only myself, but also some other students as well. How do we start a Baptist church? And little do I know that the Lord would call me to be a missionary in Brazil. And the same way that you would start a church here in the States, you could start also a church there in northern Brazil. And you'll see on the slides tonight anyways. We started in Novaide, or in Barcelos, and you'll see that in tonight. Then we moved to another town called Novaidown. Then we moved to another town called Caracari. And then we moved to another town, Boa Vista, Roraima, in these 46 years as well. And after we had also started the work, and also we found the national pastor to take over our work from the Bible college there in Manaus, Brazil, then we would move on anyways. But you know one thing about it, learning and howing to start a Baptist church. When we moved to our second church, a couple, when you would say old back in those days, and I would consider them old, but I'm not considered old anymore. And anyways, the Lord sent a couple to our town of Caracari. Now, the husband of that couple has already passed on, but the wife is still going on. She'll be almost 90 years old in the next couple of years anyways. But she said this, Bill, I cannot get out of the house anymore. My knees just won't allow it anyways. But she said, one thing I can do, and the pastor said this morning, but what you can do, I can pray. She says, there's not a day that passes that I don't pray for Bill and Sharon Smith there in Brazil. Years ago, they asked the Lord, send someone to Caracari, Roraima. little will we realize that those prayers offered up in Portuguese will come into our own hearts and lives after we left Nova Down. Now, Lord, where would you have us to go now? He will touch our lives and touch our hearts to go there. And now that church there today is a lighthouse. It's kind of like what they said here in the book of Acts. Send the light to those people there. Because we did go, they were in darkness. And that's the first thing I want to leave with you to this morning anyways. That they were in darkness anyways. When we came home for one of our furloughs, leaving Manaus, Brazil, and coming into Miami, Florida. And we got into Miami, Florida, and they stamped our passport. By the way, sir, you and your wife, where'd you come from? We're missionary, Baptist missionaries in Amazonas, in Brazil anyways. And he said, well, welcome home. And the people there in Brazil said, have a good time in reporting to your churches there in the States. And we told them what we do anyways. And so because of your mission offerings and also your prayers, now we can report back to those churches as well. And that's exactly what they said, have a good time. But when are you coming back? You see, because you have prayed and you have given toward us, that those works have become a reality. That they were in darkness, and they were also darkened, and their eyes and their ears were also deafened, that they could not hear, until we went to there to give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the darkness, you might say, is what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6 and verses 1 through 8. And then Isaiah said those famous words, Lord, here am I, send me. Send me to those people that are in darkness, and that I have received that great light, and now I can give my life to those people there in Isaiah. And that's exactly what Isaiah did. And that's exactly what we did there in Nova Down back in those days. By the way, I told someone the other day, we went to Nova Down. There wasn't any electricity there in town. There was no water there in town. There was no telephone in town. There were no computers in town. There were no roads there, only by boat. And we got our mail every 2 months. You might say back in those days. Anyways, you mark it down 8 weeks, we'll go back to Manaus, get on that passenger boat, and it would be putting along. It's only 80 miles, but it took them 12 hours to get there anyways. But you know, then we would go back to Manaus and buy our supplies and then come back to our town. Well, we started that work, and that work is still going on. And even though the work is small, it's 30 to 40 people coming there on Sunday morning or Sunday nights. But that little church also, God had called three of these men into the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two of these are still serving the Lord today. It's because of you prayed and you given. And because they were stooped in darkness back in those days, and they seen that light because we went there to give our lives to the Lord. And then we could say also going to Caracari or even to Boa Vista. Sometimes someone asks us this, Bill and Sharon, you need some friends on both sides of the fence. You need some Christian friends and you need some people in the world. What do you mean by that? Well, in order to get our documents, in order to build a church there in Boa Vista this last time anyways, well, I needed to go to City Hall. The guy was not a Christian. The guy didn't even go to church anyways. And he really didn't care much for one of our presidents back in those days. I said, just sign your name on the dotted line. That's all I ask anyways. And I said, that's all I ask. And he said, well, okay. But you know what? He gave me a lesson. He said, now, Bill, I want you to do one more thing before I retire in the next couple weeks. Because the next time you come in here with a blueprint and you had to have it stamped and everything, and then when you finish the construction, you need to go back to them to say it's already finished anyways. They may lose your blueprints. So get a couple, three copies authenticated before you leave here, okay? Okay, yes, sir, I'll do that anyways. Remember, Christian friends and then people in the world anyways. And I did that. So when we got up and said, sir, all I need for you is to sign your name on the dotted line here. That's all I need for you. You know what, Bill? I lost your blueprints. And I have no idea where they're at. And I said, oh, me. No problem. The guy that you took his place, he told me to get an authenticated copy. Anyways, and he said, here they are. And oh, he was so mad. Anyways, he said, this is Friday. He said, instead of coming back Monday, you come back Saturday morning. I'll have my secretary do it. I told the pastor, you see, there's friends on both sides of the fence. You need them both anyways. And you know, to make a long story short on that part, we can say one thing, that they were stooped in darkness. And what they wanted, this is, you know, international. I don't know if you know what that is in the United States. That's the same thing. You don't have to know Portuguese. When they say this, you know that. But when they say this, you know what that means also. Darkness. But because we did go, that they have seen a great light. In the Sunday school class this morning, they said about what we can do with our lives. And I didn't say anything. I was waiting for this morning. What can we do with our lives? They've seen a great light. What can you do with your life? Be that testimony where you are. Give out the gospel witness, and you'll never know how that your light, your shining light, your testimony will be revealed down the road. Some time ago, and thankful to the Google on the computers, a young lady lived in our city of Cotacati for years, and then went to another city in Brazil. And she went into Google, where in the world is Bill and Sharon Smith? We had our email, and somehow they found us online on the computer anyways, and they found our name there in the state of Kansas in the Baptist Church. And she typed in, Bill and Sharon Smith. You will remember this. We went to a village there called, let's just say Novo Idaho. It was another town hall anyways. And they would say, if you remember that, I went with you anyways. And I'm that young lady today, anyways. And she was going to a Baptist church also, anyways. But let me just share this. You'll never know how far your name will go around the world when you've given out the Lord Jesus Christ. And because that is in another part of Brazil, a long way from where we are today, anyways. But you know, your life does make a difference. And even though you might not think it does make a difference, it does make a difference where you are. Isaiah said, I will be that shining light. And not only that, we can see also, we can see in our own world. Someone said years ago that there are over 6,500 languages in the world. And only 2,000 of them have all the gospel translated into their own language or part of the gospel translated into their language. So let's say it was 6,500. Minus 2,000, there's still over 4,500 languages that need to be translated. In our day, when we went to Brazil, it took 25 years for those in doing translation work to translate just the New Testament into a tribal language there in Brazil. And now today, with the translation part, we can do great things for that. And there, you might say, in a great darkness, but they've seen a great light. God is looking for that person. Whether it be a godly man or a godly woman, your life does make a difference. We can go back to the book of Luke, and he was a doctor back in those days. Peter and John were fishermen. And we can go back to the time of Esther, and Esther also... She was a queen back in those days, and yet the Lord used her as well. How's your life today? They were in darkness, but they've seen a great light. Now, what can you and I do with our own lives? You could be a Sunday school teacher. We can be also leading music. You can help out in vacation Bible school. You could be that faithful person sitting in that pew right where you are today, being there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, or vacation Bible school, or special meetings as well. But let me also see one thing more thing. If you'd open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54 in verse number 2. Isaiah said these words also. Not only was a light to the Gentiles back in those days, but in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse number 2, says these words. Isaiah the prophet. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. If we could see these things here, because they were in darkness and they have seen a great light, now that they have the light, now it's up to us to share the gospel around the world. It's you and I to give of our tithes and our offerings, our mission offerings, so that the missionaries can go in our stead. In Brazil, these last few years, the Americans are not welcome in Venezuela, although most of the Americans are asked to leave anyways there, even the missionaries are. The American companies in Venezuela have left the country of Venezuela. And now they have come back, and also they're in need of darkness. But though we cannot go as Americans to give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can go if you want to, but you're not welcome there. So the Lord has sent up also, because we have went to the other cities there in Brazil, and not only us, but because of other independent Baptist missionaries just like you all, and started churches, and also doing the same thing, giving our tithes, our missionary offerings, so others can go. Now the Brazilian missionaries, Baptist missionaries, they are invited to go to Venezuela. And because Venezuela and Brazil, they do have a contact together, now they can still give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How the Lord works in mysterious ways of giving out the gospel. Because they said, enlarge thy tents. Now what can we do? We can also go with the gospel. And now the Brazilian couple that's also there in Venezuela. Venezuela have seen the light because someone has called them, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this other Brazilian couple to go to the regions beyond to give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, there's things that they're lacking there, but then you know the encouragement that they have given us also, because Brazil was a sleeping giant and now they are awakening giant. And now Brazil is giving out the gospel to the regions beyond as well. Now they're going to Portugal. They're going also to Chile. They're going to Venezuela. They're going to parts of Africa that speaks the Portuguese language. Though we can't go, the Lord has called others to go in our stead as well. And that's how the Lord works. Sometimes you think, well, that door is open and that door is closed. Closed maybe to us, but to another couple also, it may be an open door for them. And now they're going for it to give out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Holding the ropes. And we ask that you continue to hold the ropes for us as missionaries, that we can continue on what God has given us to do, to give us the strength, the physical strength, the spiritual discernment also of helping out those Brazilian pastors to continue on with the work. We could say one thing about it. Gasoline here is roughly $2. Ours is $4 a gallon. But right across the border into Venezuela, it's only 50 cents a gallon. But then they lack a whole other things as well. But you might think that they're close to the gospel. But for the Americans, yes. But to Brazil, it's not. They have received the light of the gospel because you have prayed and given toward our ministry that we can continue on with the works that God has called us to do. We can also see one thing also, ascending the light. Enlarge thy tent. Strengthen thy stakes. When is the last time that you took an email from one of the missionaries? I am Bob Miller. I don't know if there's a Bob Miller here or not anyways. And I'm from the First Baptist Church in Bryan, Ohio. How are you doing? And you know, sometimes we wonder, okay, Brother Mr. McFarland, they'll write to us anyways, an email to us. Is there anything we can do for you as a church body as well? But write to the missionaries by way of email. Now, why do we ask to the email us? Because our post office takes up to 2 months to get to our letter, maybe anyways. And so that's an email. You can get it. All you have to do is push that little button, send. And before you know it, it's already there. And they've written back, glad to hear you anyways. And so, and if you want to do something else, Skype somebody anyways. If you have Skype and they have Skype, it doesn't cost you a dime, not even a penny anyways. And that's another situation as well. And trying to encourage your missionaries along the way through your presence and through your email, through your prayers, and through their financial offerings as well. Well, what does the Lord ask us to do? We need to be faithful in giving out the light. said in our Sunday school class, in our calling, what has God called you to do? Second of all, faithful in our witness. Wherever you may go, to see someone and say, okay, thank you for that thank you card also. You might have given a thank you card there at the restaurant or where you have your gas station anyway, where you go to, or wherever you go to college or to school anyway. Thank them for what they have done for you. By the way, does people know where you're at? Years ago, we were going to Manaus, Brazil on the road of 475 miles, 46 wooden bridges, 4 barges to cross back in those days. And now because of times have changed in 46 years, and now it's asphalted with some holes in it. All the bridges now are concrete, except for one. It's only one lane instead of two, and you just got to make sure which bridge it is. And of all the time of doing that anyways, being a witness, we have to, there's this checkpoint going to the Indian reservation. And I was second car in line, and everything was going okay. And the guy says, let Pastor Bill go on. He's okay. He's the pastor of the Baptist Church there in Caracari. Okay, if you say, you'll say. But, you know, he drank all the time. And though he never came to our church there in Caracari, and they sent him out to be as a policeman down on the road to every car that came, you had to get your license and your driver's license. But he knew our life. They knew that we would go to church Sunday morning from 8:30 to 10. They knew it at evening time from 7:30 to 9, we'd be at church. On Wednesday, they knew that we'd be there from 7:30 to 9 as well. And one of those times, they knew, so they said, where's Pastor Bill and Sharon? Okay, they're at church. They'll be back at 9 o'clock. Our neighbors already knew that anyways. Except for one time, one of our neighbors said that to somebody anyways, and while we were at church, they, not that people, but somebody else overheard that, and they robbed our house anyways. And that made me mad, Pastor McCrum, because I had a spare dentures anyways, and he threw that on the ground. Evidently, he doesn't have any dentures anyways. He got what money we had, but it wasn't that much anyways, but they took my dentures and threw them on the ground. And how do you know? Because everything was out on the ground anyways, and there was my dentures. But our witness, where they are, and the guy knew where we were, and he knew our lives, and he knew that we came for not to raise cattle, not to do other things, but to preach the gospel of redeeming grace and to see people saved. And that church where we're at today has already started their Bible Institute. They've already graduated several students, and you'll see that tonight as well. But because we did go there, and there was no lights after midnight, there was no water after midnight, there was no telephone after midnight, and God took care of us even all those years, and He's still taking care of us. But you know one thing about it, because they have seen a great light, we have given those towns the gospel of redeeming grace. And now they can do likewise. They can win other people. They can start other independent Baptist churches. And they also have received the call to God to preach the Word of God, or to be a Sunday school teacher, or to be a witness wherever they may be. We was talking about the other day in that church there where we've been. We've seen now doctors accept the Lord. A lady in our church there in Alvarado, our last church, now she's become a registered nurse there. She took the course and passed it. We've had truck drivers. We have people that worked for the electric company. We've had people work for the public schools, and we have a lot of them do that. We've had people that were farmers back in those days. And then we have some retirees, too. And so what can a retiree do anyways? You can do a whole bunch of a lot of things. Sometimes it's the older folks that would help us out in the church construction anyways. Sometimes it's them. Okay, I know somebody that we can go and visit. And so it doesn't matter how old you are. You're just being willing to also be faithful in your calling, faithful in the witnessing of what you can do, and faithful in your example. Example of where you live and what you're doing and what church you go to and how long you stay in that church and how long you've been at that church as well. There was a chorus years ago that says, may He find us faithful. And you know one thing about it? That's exactly what He wants us to do. General Douglas MacArthur said years ago in World War II, and he told some people, I will come back for you. Now, he said that in World War II. Jesus said the same words. He told those 12 disciples. One didn't want him anymore, so they went back to 11, and they chose another disciple, and it still wanted to be 12 disciples. I will come back again. When is he going to come back? He doesn't say. But he wants us to be faithful in our witnessing, in our calling, in our lives, in our example. And then also, not too long ago, and it's in your lifetime, in my lifetime, on 9/11, there was a fireman said to the people in that burning building, one of those two burning buildings, stay where you are and we will find you and we will not give up. And that's exactly what we do there in Brazil. And that's exactly what the Lord wants you to do as well. Stay where you are. God wants to use you. And he wants you to be that witness, to win that people to the Lord, or those persons to the Lord. And then he wants you to be faithful also in your tithes and your offerings. And Jesus said, one of these days, I will come back again. And I tell our Brazilian people, I would like to see it be in two places anyways. I would like to be in Brazil anyways. I'd like to be right there by the cemetery. I like the ones that accepted the Lord, they'll come out of that cemetery. They'll have a glorified body going up to heaven anyways. And then also, I would like to be also close by anyways. You know, in the book of Revelation, it said, out of every tribe, out of every nation, there'll be some people that accepted the Lord. And one of those days when he comes back, out of every tribe and out of every nation, because some of the people have pioneered the way for my wife and I there in Brazil, and now we're helping the other ones to pioneer their way also to do and to not to do that, but to give out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and let him use your life where you are. Learn a new language and learn a new culture. Learn a new food to eat and learn to have some new friends. And one of these days, you know, that would be a great chorus to sing, Pastor McFarlane, also, when we all get to heaven, like how great thou art, we could sing that. Out of every tribe, out of every nation, out of every tongue that we could see that. Because some have went along the way. God has called them, not only here in the United States of America, but to go to the regions beyond. Because we did go, and because we did give out the gospel, some people have been enlightened, they came out of darkness, and they have seen that great light, and now they can go and do likewise. How's your life today? Are you faithful in your calling? Are you faithful also in your witnessing? Are you faithful in your witnessing as well? Years ago, during the month of October, last day of October, one of my friends, David, anyways, asked me to come to church in Sunday school a little bit before that. And it was on that last day of October in a Sunday morning service just like this. Mom and Dad didn't take me to church in Sunday school. So my best friend, David, had his brother live right down the road from us there outside of Mansfield, Ohio. And he said, my brother will come and pick you up. And he did so for the next 2 years, for Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I didn't have a car back in those days, and I was still in high school. And that Sunday morning service, preacher gave the invitation, those who have never trusted Christ as Savior, would you like to accept the Lord? And I came down the middle aisle right here, and I said, he said, what'd you come for? And I said, I want to be saved. And he said, do you know how to pray? I said, no, sir, I have no idea how to pray. I live on a farm, and I knew to do various things for the animals, but to pray, but I know I need to be saved. And because I did go down and forth anyways, and I was saved that day, and a few days later, I was baptized as well, become a member of that church. And one of those days, the pastor gave another call to me. Not to me, but it was really to me, but I didn't know it back in those days. We need some Sunday school teachers right after the morning service. If the Lord's touched your heart, and he touched my heart to be a Sunday school teacher. I said, Pastor, he said, what do you want, sir? And I was just a teenager. I said, well, you asked, where's the other people that came up to be for Sunday school teachers? You're it. And he said, okay, you'll get a class of junior boys. Come here Saturday morning, and I'll teach you from the Bible, your Sunday school class back in those days. But because someone else had seen the great light, and I saw the great light, and now he has asked my wife and I over these many years, continue to do the work that God's called you to do, to spread the gospel of redeeming grace. But if you've never trusted the Savior, why don't you do so today? And let the Lord Jesus Christ enlighten your life. Let Him take your sin, and He can forgive your sin if you but ask Him to, Lord, You take me and use me. Forgive me of my sin and use me as I am. And maybe, Lord, it'd be calling your life also to go also to start another church here in America or around the world. What would the Lord have you to do? Isaiah said, they were stooped in darkness. Jesus said, I'm the light. Come unto me, all ye that labor, and come unto me, and I will give you rest, and I will save your soul. Let's stand with our heads bowed tonight, this morning, as your pastor comes. If you've never trusted a Savior, why don't you come today? If He's called you to do a certain work, why don't you come this morning and let Him take your life? Pastor?
As the musicians play a song of invitation this morning, Christians, are you being the light that the Lord has called you to be? A light in the factory, a light in the store, a light in your community, a light in your school? Are you being the light that God has called you to be? If that light's not as bright as it ought to be, that's because sin is dimming it. You need to get that taken care of today. But if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today, Jesus loves you. There's no doubt about that. He died on the cross for your sins. He was buried in that tomb and He arose again from the grave, and He desires to give new life to all who will believe. Lost person today, come and allow us to open God's Word with you and introduce you to Jesus.